kids in England or like in different countries who watch the NFL can be like, he's from a different country and he's playing in the NFL, which is in America. Like, you don't have to be from America or born in America to play in the NFL. You know, you can be from any country around the world. I felt like my best chance of being successful in life was coming to America and playing American football. My thing was, if I'm gonna go for this, then I'm gonna put everything I have into it.
Top of the morning to you, Garrett.
What is that?
It's the lounge.
Is that was really bad.
Is that your best attempt at a British accent?
That was my worst attempt.
That's as good as you can do?
Maybe. I need to stick with the spot of tea.
That one's okay. That one was okay. Well, you've been practicing
top of the morning.
What you've been doing, you've been practicing the spot of tea. So, like, that's your wheelhouse right now.
Yeah,
and then somebody throws you a curveball, and you're completely thrown off.
I threw myself this curveball. Anyway, welcome into the lounge, all right? We got a very special edition for you today. We are going to sit down with Ravens offensive lineman Jermaine Illuminor, who, if you don't know this guy by now and you don't know his story, grew up in London, got a late start to football. Excellent story.
Yeah, really, it's obviously London week here. We're super excited about going over to London for the team's first trip there. It will also be my first trip there. And if you guys missed it, you know, we've made this announcement a few times, but now we have all the details. We've kind of been holding out on some of the details. We are, both of us are going to London, and we're going to do a live episode of the Lounge Podcast in the Admiralty. That's the pub that the Ravens have throughout the week. So we've got some big events there Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. It's going to literally be jam-packed with Ravens fans the entire time where they're there. So Friday night, 6 p.m., we're doing a live taping of the Lounge Podcast. We want to talk to Ravens fans who have made the trip over from the States. We want to talk to Ravens fans who are Brits. Everybody that's over there, we want to bring some on the podcast. It's going to be a really, really good time.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. The only bad news is our boss, Michelle, informed me that we cannot bring pumpkin beer over.
We had the kibosh on that one.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But, you know, it'll still be a good time. We might have a couple beers. You know, we got to sample the local stuff. Right?
That's exactly right. I mean, we got to be, if we're having the podcast in the pub, we need to also,
this isn't a dry podcast. This lounge ain't dry.
And also, so if you guys are just wondering on what are all the things that the team is doing while we're over in London, you need to check out BaltimoreRavens.com/London. We have a full rundown of everything that's going to be happening over the course of the week there. So stay tuned because it's going to be a really exciting few days.
And with that, I want to read an email. Great emails.
You're jumping the gun. We got to say hello to our friends at Papa John's before you read the email.
Papa John, I'm sorry. Give it to him.
All right. I want to tell you about the Ravens Flock Special. This is going on all season long. You can order a large specialty pizza or a large two-topping pizza with the promo code RavensFlock at PapaJohns.com. And then after every Ravens win, so you're going to be able to use this 16 times over the course of the regular season, you know, three more times in the postseason.
Oh, yeah, that's a lot of pizza.
That's a lot of pizzas. That's a lot of pizza. I'm going to eat all of them. It's Ravens 50. So every day after a Ravens win, get 50% off regular menu price online orders with the promo code Ravens50 at PapaJohns.com.
Can I read my email now?
Go to your email now.
All right. This one comes from Alexander Antonsson, and he is a Ravens fan in Sweden. So, which is pretty cool because we had a guy from Sweden, Christopher.
Yeah.
He came and joined us on the sideline before this game. It was his first ever Ravens game. Shout out to Christopher. Pleasure meeting you, buddy.
Yeah, it was great to meet him. And we all, basically the lounge brought all of us together, which is cool.
Exactly. So this one comes from Alexander, and he said, "Hi guys, awesome pod with J-Mac. Great start to the season. I'm really excited about the London game. I didn't get a ticket, but it feels good to have the Ravens closer to me. I usually have one or two favorites each season solely based on what I see on the field and then get a t-shirt with one of those players' names on the back. The problem I have now is that with your pod, I like more players and I can't afford all the players' jerseys. So now I'll have to use my own. But seriously, thank you for the great job of showcasing how many amazing people are involved in the organization." So really thank Alexander a lot for that email. As always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And with that, we want to get into this interview with Jermaine Illuminor, who has a fantastic story growing up in London. Here's Jermaine. Big week for this guy right here.
Yep.
We're going to hit you with a big question off the start, okay?
Uh-huh.
Is pumpkin beer available in London? I wish people could see his face right now.
Right.
Have you ever had a pumpkin
beer? You've never even heard of pumpkin beer, have you?
I feel like they would sell that like Starbucks or something.
Pumpkin spice lattes.
That's a PSL. Right. That's a PSL. This is pumpkin beer. Starbucks, I don't think they have their liquor license.
Right. Pumpkin, what? I've never heard of that in my entire life.
See?
Oh my god!
I don't know where y'all got that from,
dude. This is why we need to be bringing pumpkin beers to London with us.
We need to enlighten everybody.
They have that over here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's probably pumpkin disgusting. Flavored beer.
No. You are quickly becoming a former friend of the lounge.
Wow. I'm telling you, on a nice crisp evening in the fall, there's nothing better than a good pumpkin beer. You gotta try it.
That's such an American thing. Pumpkin beer.
Once again, we don't want to encourage drinking with our players, but during the off season, after the year is over, pick up some pumpkin beers. We'll give you some recommendations.
Yeah. If I don't like that, y'all gonna be seeing my tweets.
Yeah. So we want to talk a little bit about your story, and obviously, you know, it's a huge week for you as the Ravens are getting ready to go over to London to face the Jacksonville Jags. Mm-hmm. And we won't make you retell the story of how you first came upon football, because I know you're probably going to tell it 1,000 times this week. So, Garrett, why don't you go ahead, team up.
So this is my understanding of it is you're a 12-year-old kid in London.
11.
11, okay. Jeez, so yeah, I already messed it up.
This is why he needs to tell the story.
I messed it up. So you're 11 years old, and you're flipping through the channels,
yep.
And you're looking for an Arsenal game.
Yep.
And then
best team in the Premiership.
What's that?
I just want to say best team in the Premiership.
Okay, so we already got that. All right, yep. Arsenal guy. And you stumble upon this American football.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
What is this?
And it was a game that was being played in Wembley, right?
Yep, the Dolphins and the Giants.
Yeah.
I think that game was like 13-6 or something like that, and it was just straight field goals. But
and even that got you excited about the game. Okay.
Yeah, because all the hitting and, you know, everyone wearing all these colors. I think Michael Strahan was playing still, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was back in Eli Manning's rookie year. And, you know, just seeing everything happening, I was like, what? You know, it's just got me really excited.
Yeah. So this was 2007. It was the very first game that was played over there.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Exactly. And so they had previously played one 2 years earlier in Mexico. Yep. Mexico City was the first game outside the U.S. borders, and this is the first in London. So what's crazy about it is, you know, there's a direct connection. You know, the league wants to expand to the UK and get fans interested. Here's a direct connection to where that expansion paid off and led to a kid playing football and now in the NFL. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I had no idea that was the first game I ever played in London. I think that's why, I guess that's why I blew up more than I thought I would, you know, because I remember when I was getting recruited, you know, when UCLA was recruiting me, they were like, oh, you know, you're from London. If you come here, you know, you're in California, Los Angeles, you're starting to blow up once you get drafted. You know, this is 4 or 5 years ago?
Nah.
It was like 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Like, so he was saying, yeah, your story's gonna blow up once you're going in the NFL draft, you're in LA. I was like, nah, you know, it's
not a big deal.
You know, and so 4 years later, it blew up, and I'm like, damn, he really said it was gonna blow up. And it blew up like crazy, because, you know, I was on NFL Network, I was on ESPN, I was doing all these things, talking to people I never thought I'd be talking to.
Right.
You know, so it was something for sure. I had no idea it was the first game. I thought it was just another game over there.
And now you're on the Lounge Podcast, which is really the biggest
accomplishment. The pinnacle.
This is the pinnacle of media attention.
It's only downhill from here. You know?
can you take us back to that moment, though, when you were watching that game as a kid? Were you like 10 inches from the TV? What was going through your mind, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was, it was when I was the only one in, I think I was the only one in the living room, and I was just flipping through the channels, and I came across that, and I was really sitting on my couch, and I went to the floor, and I, you know, scooted up a little bit closer to the TV, just trying to figure everything out, because I saw these big people, you know, these little people, you know, these medium-sided people, and these people, like, who were jacked up, and, you know, with all these funny haircuts, wearing these, like, funny helmets with, like, different face masks and everything. I was like, what is going on right now? I was like, they're playing this at Wembley Stadium. I was like, what is this? It's like, and then like I see a commercial like National Broadcast of the NFL. So I'm like, what's the NFL? So I Google the NFL, and I'm like, NFL. And then I Googled this. So I was like, NFL in England, thinking like NFL teams were in England, but you know, I was sadly let down. But you know,
did you then try to start playing? Like, so, and how did you start playing?
So funny thing, I Googled American football, and then I Googled like college football, because I'm like, you know, I always wanted to go to college, and so I Googled like how to get scholarships to play college football in America, and then I Googled like teams in England that sent people over to America, and the London Blitz is a team I came across, and they had a guy on the practice squad in San Diego at the time. I don't know his name, but I just remember like seeing him like suit up for a game. Mm-hmm. And he was on the practice squad in, you know, the NFL, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever. Like, you know, they sent a guy from England to America on the practice squad. And, you know, I wanted to do that. And so I did that. You know, I would Google like how to get into that, how to get over to America, see if there's like a scouting agency that can like come scout me out, you know, that could come watch me.
But you hadn't even played yet.
Hadn't played a down.
Well, you big? You had to be a big guy, right?
I was a chubby kid. I was like, you know, what, this is back when I was 11. I gave myself like 5'3", about 200, like 200 some change.
It's a big kid for 11 years old.
I was chubby too.
So then you started playing like youth football there? I mean, were there leagues at the time?
There was leagues, but you had to be at a certain age. And I was too small. I was too young, so, you know, they put me on a flag football team, and it was 5v5. You know, you had a center, a quarterback, a running back, a receiver, and a tight end. The defense, they had a D tackle, a linebacker, a corner, a safety, and I think another corner.
Right.
And so, you know, 5v5, I'm playing center, and D tackle, tried playing some tight end, but they wouldn't let me. But, you know, I made it happen. You know, and, you know, just doing that, it wasn't the same. So I quit that and went back to football.
Wow.
I quit that and went back to rugby.
Rugby.
To rugby. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay.
So then you're 14 years old, mm-hmm. and you and your dad move here, right, to New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And am I correct in understanding that the main reason that you moved over here was to pursue football? Was that a big part of it? Was that the main reason?
Me personally, yeah, that was the only reason I came over here.
Really?
My father, his intentions were to give us a better life and like a better opportunity in succeeding, because, you know, England, there's not too much to do unless you're really good at soccer or you want to be a doctor or something. And, you know, I didn't want to do either. You know, it would have been cool to be a doctor, but I didn't think I was that smart.
It would have been cool to play for Arsenal.
But. Yeah, it would have been cool to play for Arsenal, but I wasn't, you know, I think I was too big. You know, so I felt like my best chance of being successful in life was coming to America and playing American football.
Wow. So what was that like? You move here, you're 14 years old, you leave behind friends and family and everything, mm-hmm. the life that you've known, and it's all to pursue this game, which at the time, like, it's not like you knew that you were destined to go to the NFL. Like, the game is still kind of all new to you, and mm-hmm. you want to pursue that. Like, that's a huge commitment to make at that time of your life.
I feel like my thing was, if I'm going to go for this, then I'm going to put everything I have into it, you know? And I was like, you only get one chance at life, and, you know, if I don't go for stuff that I want to do, then what's the point of, you know, having life? Like, you know, it's just wasting it. And my thing was, growing up, you know, I had to grow up at a young age because it was just me and my dad over here. And so, you know, he's at work all day, and, you know, I'm a 14-year-old kid used to having my mother around to do stuff for me. I had to grow up real quick and, like, learn how to do things for myself because, you know, she wasn't around. And my dad wasn't too, he was busy working, trying to get money to have for us, and then send back home for my mother as well, because she was the only one over there trying to support three kids. Wow. You know, so he was trying to do that, so I was on my own a lot, and you know, just it helped me grow up a lot, but also it helped me see that, you know, I have no choice but to go for it, because, you know, we're going through this, we're struggling, and, you know, it's mainly so I can, you know, live our dream. And so then my family can come up here, over here, and live our dream, you know. And so I was, it began when, you know, we moved over here, and, you know, my dad gave me the opportunity to play.
So how did those conversations go, I guess, when you're talking to your mom and your dad? Was it you were pushing your dad and saying, look, Dad, I really want to go to America? Or was he kind of saying, I want to bring you to America? Or how did
he already started, like, the process of moving, because I remember going to, like, the embassy in England, and, you know, doing your fingerprints, taking your weight down, you know, getting the right shots, doing interviews to get a green card, and, like, you have to go through this whole procedure just to get a green card.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I didn't know he had them, but when we came over to, like, over to, you know, come over here on a holiday vacation, you know, he came up to me 2 days before we were gonna leave, and he was like, hey, man, like, you know, what do you think about this place? I was like, I love it. He's like, you wanna try coming over here and, like, you know, living here? See how it goes. I was like, let's do it, you know? Hmm. Like, he was, and my mother was sitting there right there, and she was like, are you sure? Because they knew how much I wanted to move to America, you know? It was funny, yeah. Because, like, the more I think about it, the more I remember little things. And I remember being in schools telling my friends, oh, I'm going to America, I'm about to move there. had no idea I was going to move there, but they're like, no, you're not. You're not going to move to America. And I was like, watch, I'm going to move to America. 2 weeks later, that, you know, it's back when we had MySpace. They come to my MySpace, you really moved to America? What? So, I remember little things like that, but, you know, I really wanted to do it. And I had been saying that for a couple of years. And so when it actually came around to actually doing it, I was head over heels, and I was like, full steam ahead, let's do it.
That's awesome. So when you get here, tell me about the first time you throw on the pads and you're actually going up and suiting up for a American football practice. Were you any good? Did you know what?
No, I sucked. I was so bad. Oh my goodness. I remember my sophomore and junior year, because the young guys would suit up with the varsity team just for depth. And I remember everyone saying, if I had your size, I'll go D1. If I had your size, I'll go D1. And this is me, like, I don't know how to play football. Like, I never forget that. Like, I literally remember sitting in the weight room, people telling me, I'm sure, like, I'm not going to play football, but you can because you're so big. If I had your size, I'll go D1 so easily. I didn't know how to play, so I was still learning. But, I kind of took that to heart because, these people are telling me that I can go D1 because I have the size, so why can't I go do that?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of frustrating though. Like, I'd do it so easy if I were right. Even your size. You're like, yeah. Oh, I'm sure you would, buddy.
Right.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, seriously.
No idea.
And then is it true that you basically, so you had to go to JUCO, right? Mm-hmm. And you went to JUCO for a year?
2 years.
2 years. And mm-hmm. during that time that you're there, obviously you kind of develop as a player and all that, mm-hmm. but you're basically sending out emails to college coaches and recruiters saying like, hey, I'm here, I am, mm-hmm. take a look. Like, yeah. Was anybody calling you at the time?
No, when I first got there, no. I walked on at Lackawanna, because wow. I remember I sent the same thing I did to get the office in JUCO. I did the same thing to get, Lackawanna to take a shot at me and give me a roster spot. Because at the time, they were filling out their roster, and, I emailed them at last minute, like, hey, I don't have no schools to go to. I saw that one of your linemen just signed with West Virginia. Mark Lewinsky was a starting left guard for the Seattle Seahawks mm-hmm. right now. And he just left the JUCO, and I was like, y'all have a spot to fill, and I feel like I can fill that spot for y'all. If y'all give me the opportunity, I send him my highlight tape, and, I wasn't the best player, but, I had some sort of ability. That's why they took a chance on me. And so then, I walked on there and went through training camp. I was real determined, so I worked my butt off that summer, and I remember getting there, practicing for the first time, and, they didn't really know what to expect out of me, and I lined up, we're doing Oklahoma Joe's, I lined up against the best D-line we had, and I think they thought I was going to get killed, but I ended up stalemate with him, but it was like collision, then everyone was like, what? And like, started watching it, all I remember is my coach going, go drive him, drive, and from that point on they took me serious, and I ended up getting to start at right tackle and left tackle for a couple of games because, we had injuries. Gerald Broxton, he was a starting right tackle.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And he got hurt. And so then I was able to step in at right tackle. And, I started for 5 games. I had enough tape, made that, put that together, and I sent out to a bunch of schools. Like, I still had the emails I sent to schools from when I was in high school. Wow. So I basically, deleted some things, retyped.
Shuffle up the cover letter.
Basically, it was like, I'm in high school right now. I took out, I was like, I'm in junior college now. send them out, delete the highlight tape I had from high school, send them out the highlight tape. Like, I have a huddle now too, so I have film. What I would do is that would be like my cover sheet, and I would delete the school and put a new school in. And so,
definitely made some mistakes. I'm sure you have some in there.
You have no idea. I was going back, during the draft process, people wanted the emails.
Yeah.
So I went, I had a Hotmail. I was back on my Hotmail.
Hotmail?
Hotmail?
Hotmail.
I say Hotmail.
Gotcha.
Come on, that's he's from London. It's the accent. What do you expect?
Hotmail.
So
what kind of mail server is this?
I'm looking at these emails, and I figured out why Maryland didn't offer me. And that's because I sent them an email that said, I feel like Michigan State would be the best school for me. I want to be a Spartan. And I said the wrong head coach's name, too. And I did that for a couple of schools. It's funny because some of the schools still offered me. They didn't care about the email. They just cared about my highlight tape. But the first email I sent out was to Florida State and Wisconsin back when Brett Bielema was there.
Yeah.
And so I sent out to Florida State. And 2 hours later, they emailed me back, like, who are you? Like, where are you? Like, all these questions, and they gave me a number. And you know, I called the number and it was Jimbo Fisher, and he was like, he was in his stuff, me and like, hey Jermaine, what's up? I was like, oh, what's up? Who's this? He's like, Jimbo Fisher. I was like, oh, snap. You know, I was like, you know, how you doing? He's like, I'm good, coach. And I'm like, how you doing? He's like, I'm great. You know, I'm here with all like the you know, all the coaches, we're watching your film right now, we love you. Like, you know, how long you been playing football for? I was like, oh, this is my third year playing, well, second year playing, because I only played 1 year of high school. And he was like, oh, wait, what? I was like, yeah. He's like, well, we love you. We just Googled you. Like, we watched your wrestling tape, and we love you. And then he put me on the phone with the O-line coach. And he's like, yeah, but we're not for your scholarship. I'm like, oh, okay, coach, thank you. He's like, oh, we're going to talk to you soon. I was like, all right, thank you, coach. And it didn't hit me until I was walking down the street back to my dorm, and I was like, wait, what? And I caught him again. He's like, yeah, Jermaine, what you need? I was like, wait, did you say you offered me a scholarship? He's like, yeah, we want you here. I was like, oh, snap. And I called my parents, and you know, they were just going crazy, and everyone was going crazy. Like, Jermaine, just go off by Florida State. And rewind that, 2 months prior to that, my coach was like, Jermaine, what's your dream school? And I was like, Florida State. And that was my first offer.
Wow.
And you know, it's just funny, like thinking about little things like that.
Wait,
you know?
So why did you end up at Texas A&M? I'm not getting the connection here.
Well, I had a couple of USC was my dream school. It wasn't the same USC that which I fell in love with, and Pete Carroll was there, Brian Christian, Ray Maluka, and you know, Mark Sanchez and Reggie Bush. But you know, I ended up at A&M because you know Coach Summit called me, and my thing was I wanted to make it to the NFL, and they were shooting linemen out like crazy. You know, they had Joe Cool, and then they had Jake, and then they had Seth and GI. You know, and you know they were about to have Joe Cool go in the NFL draft, and Joe Cool just went second in the draft, and Jake and Cedric were supposed to leave. And so I was like, damn, like that's my spot. Like, you know, that's a spot for me. Like then NFL coach is gonna be watching me. So that's why I ended up at A&M.
Gotcha.
Come to find out, Seth didn't want to leave because he wanted to play left tackle. So I got redshirted that year. So Seth screwed me. You know,
it all worked out okay.
It worked out pretty fine. You know, Seth's starting left tackle for the Bengals now. Uh-huh. You know, but you know, it's fine. You know, we're all
then he had to deal with Terrell Suggs last week.
Yeah, know, I've been dealing with Suggs too, so I'm pain. You know, Suggs was one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah. So, what was the emotions like when you get drafted by the Ravens in the fifth round? Because I remember watching the video of you, and it's like you're like had to wait for a while, and you're bummed, and then when you hear your name called, just what's that emotion like?
Like, it was funny because the entire process, I kept hearing different things. You know, I heard something from like first round, the second round, the third round, the fourth. Like, the lowest they said I'll go is the fifth. And, you know, I guess, like, the whole, like, how the lineman thing went, only two in the first, two in the second, like, stuff like that, that kind of made me slide down the board. But my thing was, I was just like, I need an opportunity. That's all that's all I've ever needed in life, you know. Like, I've got opportunities, and once I got those, it didn't matter what the circumstance was. As soon as I got the opportunity, I was going to make the best out of it. You know, I did the same thing in JUCO. I did the same thing in A&M, where I only started for 1 year, you know. My thing is that if you're given an opportunity, then that's you getting a chance to succeed. If you don't, that's your fault. And all I needed was opportunity. So when I went in the fifth round to the Ravens, I was like, that's my opportunity. You know, I was praying before that to God, like, you know, whenever my name's called, like, I'm going to make the best out of the opportunity. Because the thing that got me was watching all these other linemen go who I thought I was better than. But, you know, I was like, that's just, you know, it's just mere fuel to the fire. Like, as soon as I get drafted, I'm gonna make sure that, you know, I turn out to be one of the best players. And then when people talk about that draft class, they're talking about me, you know. But emotion-wise, it was like, that was just crazy because you go from watching the NFL draft on TV every single year. Like, the first NFL draft I watched was when Matt Ryan got drafted to the Falcons. You know, you had Vernon Golston and Glenn Dorsey.
You had your quarterback, Joe Flacco.
You know, so that was my first ever NFL draft. So I went from that to actually getting drafted. And it didn't hit me until a couple of days later. I was like, damn, I'm in the NFL. You know, like, you know, I've got over that hump. Like, you know, I'm in it now. I'm in it now. The real work begins because now I got to stay in it.
Right.
You know, so it was something. It was, you know, just being around my friends and family, you know, seeing how happy my dad was.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've never seen him that happy before, and my mother, too. And, you know, I've been blessed to have a great family and a great support cast and great best friends, you know. So the fact that I got to share that moment with them is something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Yeah. It's wonderful. So, you know, you get drafted by the Ravens, you find out pretty quickly, obviously, that you're going to be going to London this year. That's happening this week. So What is your emotion to know that you're going back to Wembley, the place where you saw that game, you know, as an 11-year-old kid, and now you're going to go back and play in that stadium? There's probably going to be some 11-year-old kid in London that's going to be watching you, mm-hmm. maybe wearing a Jermaine Illuminor jersey. Like, what is the emotion of going back and doing that?
You know, my thing is, I feel like I'm meant to be like a bridge, so that kids in England or like in different countries who watch the NFL can be like, he's from a different country and he's playing in the NFL, which is in America. Like, you don't have to be from America or born in America to play in the NFL. You know, you can be from any country around the world. And my thing is, I want people to see that, and I want people to see that, you know, you can live in England, you can live in France, you can live in, you know, what's another country? Spain, Russia, right. China. You know, right. You can live in any of these countries, Mexico. And if you have a dream of playing in the NFL, you have a dream, like, no matter what that dream is, no matter where, you have to be to make that dream possible, you know? Anything's possible, because, you know, I came from England and now I'm in America playing a sport that is, you know, dominated by Americans. Now I'm one of only five English players playing it, but the fact that there's someone from another country playing a sport that, you know, people didn't think he was going to ever play, and people never thought that he was going to reach this level. You know, I want people to see that, and, you know, that 11-year-old who's in the stand, I want him to be like, you know, he was the same age when he first, like, he was the same age as me when he first watched his football game. This is my first football game. Why couldn't I be like him, you know? And then, like, you know, 11 years later, like, 12 years later, come to find out he's the next big thing, you know, that, and that's because he saw what I did. Mm-hmm. Like, that, there'll be nothing more sweet than that, you know, like, other than winning the Super Bowl and, you know, hopefully, like, going down is one of the best to ever do it. But out of everything, I want to inspire others. So, you know, 10, 20 years later, people are like, yo, you know, I heard about this kid, Jermaine Illuminor, and he went to the NFL, and that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, I did what he said, and I didn't quit, and I followed my dreams, and now I'm here. You know, and, like, just hearing if that's the case 10, 20 years later, that's going to be the best thing ever, because that means I impacted lives, and that's what I want to do.
That's awesome. When was the last time you were back in London? And
6 years ago.
6 years ago. So how bad are you itching to get back there?
I mean, the last time I was there is when my dad was trying to stay there and I had to beg him to come back, you know, so that's the last time I was there.
He was trying to stay there.
We came here and it was real hard, you know, because, you know, he had to work a ton of jobs and he was missing my family, you know, he's away from his wife and kids.
Yeah.
And then he barely gets to see me too because I'm living with my aunt and, you know, he's living an hour and a half away. And so it got hard, and then we went over to see my family at Christmas vacation, and he had plans on not coming back, but, you know, my plan was to go back as soon as it was, and, like, as soon as it was time to go back. And I remember the day we were supposed to go back, he was telling me that, you know, we're going to stay here because it's not going good, and, you know, it's too hard, and, you know, I just begged him to come back, and, you know, I was like, you know, just give me the opportunity to make it, and I promise you I'll make it, and I promise you I'll graduate, and I promise, like, you know, like, I'll make something, you know, just, like, I want to go back, I don't want to be here, like, this is for me, America's for me, you know, just trying, so I remember that day where it's like, he was like, okay, and, like, it was real emotional at the airport, because I didn't see my family for another 2 years, but, you know, if he didn't take that chance on me, I won't be here, but that's the last time I was there, so, you know, I'm itching to go back to just, like, a lot of my friends over there have kids now, and, like, they're all grown up, so I really want to go back there and see them, you know, see my family with them, my big sister, my little nephew, Noah, you know, my cousins, my little other nephew, Michael, you know, so I'm excited to go back there and just see how everything's changed and, like, if things are still in the same place and, like, how much they've grown, you know. Yeah. He was my best friend in London, he's still, like, really close to me. One of my friends over there is, like, a world-renowned model now. You know, he's in, like, full, you know, all over everything. So I'm, like, excited to go back to him, like, oh, you a model now? Like, you know?
So you know? It was when you were in high school. So you went back for Christmas vacation the first time after you went over there, mm-hmm. over the States for high school. Wow. Mm-hmm. And your dad stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So what do you think the view is of London, or of football in London now?
Like, it's huge.
So people love it.
Right, I have so many people hit me up. Just like, oh, like, how can we do this? I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, and I try to get back to all of them. You know, like, I hear about all these academies over there now. I'm like,
yeah.
There's an American football academy over there. They're like, yeah, it's so big here. And they're like, they have people going to college in America now. I'm like, you know, getting scholarships. I'm like, what? What was that when I was trying to play United? Like, Google stuff. And now you have academies that, like, give you the opportunity to do that. But that just shows how big the sport is getting over there. You know, it's getting huge.
Do you want to have a team there? Do you hope that there's?
It would just be hard, okay. You know. I mean, it would be dope for sure. You know, having home, you know, having Wembley as a home stadium, it would be. I think that game would sell out every single week, week in and week out. But you just, it would just be a lot of things like that 7-hour trip and the time difference. Yeah. You know, I feel like if they did, they would have to have a bunch of games at like a couple weeks there and then a couple weeks in the States. But you know, I mean, there's a lot of smart people working for the NFL, so I'm sure they figure something out.
We're not either of those smart people.
No.
You were in mind.
Do you think that if Joe Flacco is walking down the street in downtown London, are people going to recognize him there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Are they definitely going to know you? Are you going to have? Is it going to be a paparazzi situation when we go over there for you?
Shoot, we'll see. It's my first time going back, so we're going to see how it is.
Wait, we say football. A couple quick hitters here.
Yeah.
All right, when we say football, first thing that comes to mind?
Soccer.
It is?
Mm-hmm. Still?
Mm-hmm. Do you, when you're talking to friends or family or whatever, do you call American football? Do you have to say American football?
I just say football and football.
Okay.
Like, you know, it depends the conversation. If I'm talking about, like, you know, Arsenal or something, I'm like, oh, yeah, football. If I'm talking about, like, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, I'm like, football. I don't like saying soccer.
Okay.
It's the context.
Weird. It sounds weird. I say it if I have to. It does not sound weird because I don't want people like, you say, what do you mean football? We're playing soccer. I'm like, man, soccer. Like, you know, I want to avoid that whole thing. So I say soccer. But, you know, I want to say football because it is football. You know,
right.
It's football.
Right.
You know, like soccer. Like,
if you're playing your socks.
It just makes no sense. Like football.
Right.
Soccer.
Foot meatball.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
All right, who's tougher, football players or rugby players?
Oh, gosh, they got me draft day saying rugby's harder than football.
And you've regretted it since, but you really mean it?
Rugby is tougher than football.
Oh. Well, how so? Physically, you mean?
So much physically. You hit without pads. They like, you know, like the little shoulder pads, not shoulder pads, like the little padding that we wear, like shells
yeah.
Nowadays.
Yeah.
That's what they wear, if even. Back when I was playing, you literally just put on a jersey and pants, jersey and shorts, and you're hitting.
Right.
So you come out sore as hell. Like there was one time I was in a scrum, and my neck was down, and someone hit the back of my neck, and like I couldn't move it. Like it was painful to move for a good 3-4 days.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like rugby, you have to be tough, you know, because rugby, you see people with like no teeth, you know, bruised eyes, you know, when you see people with like the little tape around their head,
yeah.
That's because they like, cut their head open and they just put tape around it to go play.
Ooh. Yeah, that's why we don't play rugby.
Yeah exactly. All right, fish and chips or crab cakes?
Fish and chips.
Ooh, that's not going to win any friends.
Fish and chips.
Downton Abbey, big fan?
Downton Abbey.
It's a TV show here. You know,
no, I've heard about it.
You don't
know
Downton Abbey?
I know I've heard about it, but it's not. Nah,
all right,
nah.
Neither do I.
Yeah,
my in-laws watch it.
I don't watch it
my
either.
My in-laws.
All right, so who on the team has the best mock British accent?
Justin Tucker.
Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah.
Justin Tucker can mock any accent. he can mock anyone he chooses.
Is his British accent better than yours?
I mean, you know, mine's original though. His is fake.
Right.
So.
Whose is the worst?
There's a lot because, you know, some of them sound Indian, some of them sound Australian. I think Nico Siragusa.
Okay. Yeah.
I hope he hears this too because it's terrible.
Now we gotta do ours.
All right, you gotta judge between us.
Whose is worse?
All right. I wanna say $20, y'all said like blimey. Like a cup of tea or something like that.
All right, wait, not a cup of tea. Can you pass me a spot of tea?
I was about, as soon as you said not
cup of tea.
I was about to say you're going to say spot of tea.
Yep. Can you pass me a spot of tea?
I'll try to just say, I'm not going to say a phrase like that.
All right, fine,
thank
whatever.
You for doing the podcast. Could I interest you with some fish and chips?
Yeah. That was still lame.
You didn't even sound anywhere close to that.
Like, so mine's better even though it's cliche.
It's not even. I can't wait for y'all to go back and see what an actual English accent sounds
like. We both lost.
Y'all will be like, damn, that's embarrassing. Y'all gonna come up to me like, Jermaine, we're sorry that we tried doing it. It's so bad.
It takes a lot to embarrass us, all right? We do it a lot, so we're used to it.
Yeah, man, it's fine.
Jermaine Luminor, thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Have a great time.
Yes, sir.
All right, so thanks again to Jermaine, and obviously an incredible story. Somebody that I appreciate the fact that he wants to be an inspiration, you know, to a lot of kids. And I think that it'll be really cool to go back to London this week and see the way the game has grown. And I think that we'll see a lot of Jermaine Illuminor jerseys over there, which will be pretty neat to see.
Well, the question is, do we see Jermaine Illuminor on the field? I doubt it right now, because Tony Bergstrom looks like the guy at right guard with Marchionda out. But John Harbaugh did say early on Monday, he said that Jermaine Illuminor is getting close to seeing the field. So I'll tell you, it'd be kind of cool. Right. I hope he gets like a few snaps at least. Right. Let's hope for a blowout. Illuminor get in there in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't start. You know, that's probably be a stretch. But to go out there and play a few snaps, get active for the first time,
that would be really cool. Yeah. John Harbaugh said, by the way, he said he's come 500 miles in his advancement as a player, which is a song by the Proclaimers, who are a Scottish band. Scotland, you probably know, part of the United Kingdom.
There we go. So boom, we're really just going all in on this theme.
Full circle, baby.
We're going all in on this theme. And before we go today, the last thing I want to tell you about is our Ravens Flock special from Papa John's. You can order this all season long by getting a large specialty pizza or a large two-topping pizza with the promo code RavensFlock at PapaJohns.com. And again, every day after the Ravens win, use the promo code RAVENS50 to get 50% off all regular menu price online orders with that promo code RAVENS50. PapaJohns.com.
Yeah, so we will see a lot of you fans hopefully at the Admiralty. We can't wait. Come out 6 o'clock Friday night.
Yep, we'll see you there Friday night. So thanks for listening, and we can't wait to get across the pond and meet all of you in London this week.